It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Well, Dan, good morning. How do you describe a game like that?
It's a W.
You guys just find ways to win, it feels like, every single week, and it's not the same way every single week.
No, it's not, and it doesn't matter how it goes. I mean, that is the nature of this league and the opponents that you face and where you're at. There no two wins are alike, and that's ultimately what it comes down to, is finding a way to win. And you know, as long as you you know, that's really part of your bedrock, is overcoming, and no matter what, you're never out of it, and let's just find a way to get it right. And we do that. We have that. That is part of us, and that's the most important ingredient in any winning team.
You know, you have some halves where, I mean, you go into halftime, you're up, maybe things have gone well, maybe things haven't gone well, but to continually shoot yourself in the foot, what was the conversation? How do you handle a halftime like that? Because defense came out with their hair on fire.
Yeah, look, I thought our defense played pretty good. You know, there was a couple of things early. I mean, we had them, you know, that first drive after a sudden change defensively, we had them in a 3rd and 18. You know, they were already in field goal range. And, man, we should have gotten off the field. And you know, we make a little error there. So a couple of these popped up. But you take that play away, you take another play away. For the most part, we played pretty dang good defensively. So we knew it was just, man, we were close to playing pretty clean. And then offensively, they just, you know, they came out and we never really matched that, the intensity of that defense early. You know, we couldn't find a rhythm. And then, look, the turnovers hurt, but here's the thing. Look, the first turnover, Goff's throwing a hot, and Petrie makes a hell of a play. Ball gets batted, they get a pick, right? And so now your defense is in a tough spot. You know, the next pick that you have is, you know, throwing to Laporta. It's a good throw, man. It's a timing throw. We just don't quite make the play. The guy makes a hell of a play on it. It was literally one of those days where man, it just wasn't – you just felt like the energy was favoring them for that day for a while. But I also knew we would get out of it. It's just a matter of when. You know, you got to fight your way out of that. Things aren't going your way. And we were able to do that.
They showed you coming out of halftime, and your face looked red. Were you emotional? Were you fired up? Like, the tone of that halftime, how did you get those guys ready to play the second half?
Well, look, I think we just talked about what we can do better. You know, I thought the coaches hit them well. There's a couple of things that we made a couple of adjustments, but also I just wanted to see us come out and you know, switch the intensity a little bit, you know, particularly offensively. Let's take it to them a little bit. And that was really the gist of it. It's just, you know, clean a couple of things up. Nobody was frazzled. You know, nobody was, you know, there's always going to be a little frustration with those things. But yet, man, that didn't put us in a bad way. We handle adversity pretty well here. So we knew we would get out of it. It's a matter of time. And so let's worry about the next play in front of us and, you know, give that play your full attention and give it your full effort. And then let's see where this thing goes.
Kickers can be a different bunch. And I've talked about my experience with them. I'm sure you've had some unique experiences with them. But Jake Bates, as a rookie, the Minnesota kick, these kicks in this game, I mean, he has had some big moments for you guys. How do you help, or how does Dave Phipp help him approach the game and moments like that?
Well, I think we try to put him in some of these pressure situations. You know, I kind of mentioned this a couple of days ago. I mean, we did this Thursday. We really put him in the game situation, the whole team around him, and it's for the win. And he nailed it. And it was a kick longer than the one he just nailed, both of those kicks he made the other day in the game, you know. So I think that's important. You know, I try to apply a little pressure, and I have really since training camp, you know, just in my own way, stuff that I know would probably irritate him, you know. And just to make him not worry, but, you know, don't worry about it. Block everything out. Do what you do. And he's good about that. I mean, he really is. He's pretty good about just, you know, he gets away from everybody, and he can kind of get in his own head in a good way and shut everything else out. And I do feel like there's something to him, you know, when man, you put him in a competitive setting, and he's pretty good about that. And he just continues to get better and better. And he's a creature of habit. Phipp's done a great job with just, hey, man, trust your leg. Trust this ball's not going to move much because you got such a powerful leg. And, it, you know, talking about like Green Bay last week in the elements, man, you kick it the same way. And if you don't make it, that's on us, not him, you know, because we're asking him to kick it too far in the elements. Well, same thing here, man. Just trust your leg. Push it. Don't worry about anything else. And, man, those were two huge kicks for us.
You mentioned Jared Goff's first couple interceptions. The third one, of course, was just a deep ball before the half. But five interceptions is a headline. Level of concern with the way he played coming out of that game?
None. I mean, everybody's going to think we're crazy. You're going to think I'm crazy. You know, anytime you have five interceptions, you're like, oh, I'm telling you, he didn't play a bad game. He played a pretty good game. And I mean, there's really not one of those. I guess there's maybe one, but he's going where we're telling him to go with the ball, and he's putting it where we're telling him to put it. And then there's a couple of these that get batted. I mean, you know, and it's like, oh man, it gets batted up. You know, interception here at the line. He's getting ready to throw. It bounces off the D lineman. Interception. I mean, man, he's doing exactly what we're asking him to do. So I'm not worried at all. I thought he played pretty good. It's just, dude, that's the nature of this game sometimes, man. The ball doesn't bounce your way, and you just hang in there. Defense, we need a couple of takeaways. Keep giving us the ball back, which our defense did, and we'll work our way out of it.
You're killing the fans by not playing Za'Darius Smith. What went into the decision to not play him, and then also how much are you excited to see him on the field and be a part of this defense moving forward?
Yeah, that's not an easy decision at all. But also, there's a couple of things. Number one, we're going in that game with seven wins. Number two, we're getting Pascal back, which we did. He played well, by the way. Number three, this guy has played a lot of football. He's already played a lot of football in the 2024 season, and I just felt like it was right to let's get him acclimated to what we do, how we do things around here, our defensive terminology, and give him a breather, you know, because it is a long season. I mean, we got 11 games left here, and we're going to need him for every one of those. And every time we get a little bit closer to the end, they get more critical. So I just felt like it's the right thing to do. And then, yes, I'm excited to get him going. I think he's going to be an excellent addition for us. I think he brings a complementary piece to our defense in that D line. And I'm excited to see him play for us.
I think we're all doing the math on 11 games. Lions head coach Dan Campbell joining us this morning. A lot to talk about from that football game. Felt like the run game didn't get going early. Was there when you needed it late? What was the adjustment, and how did you get it going?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I said the run game. You finally got some success in the second half. What was it that finally got the ground game going?
Yeah, let me say this. I thought Ben Johnson did a great job of staying patient with the run. You know, it's not, you get in a game like that, it's not easy to just, you know, you start getting antsy. You know, you need points. And, man, I thought that was excellent. And so we leaned on the run game. We leaned on the offensive line. I thought we were much better in some of our combination blocks up front. We blocked it better. And then I just thought David and Gibbs really took that game over. You know, they came on and it was a 1-2 punch. Gibbs almost broke about three of those. Man, I mean, he is an inch away from taking it all the way to the house and really ignited us. And then once that happened, you know, man, our guys really showed up. You know, St. Brown makes big plays because now you're in the play action pass. You know, J-Mo made some big plays. Golf was making big throws. You know, our guys showed up in crunch time. And look, I'll say this again. I don't want to say he ever gets overshadowed, but you know, a game like that, you come out and he made these critical catches at the end. I'm talking about St. Brown, but I mean, Sam played his ass off, and he does every week. And there's so many things that people don't even realize or see. I mean, he blocked from start to finish and mixed it up the whole freaking game. And you could just see when it's time to go. Like, I love Saint because when it's time to – we got to start finding a way to win a game. Things aren't going your way. He doesn't press to the point of making mistakes. He presses in the right manner to help us win. And I just – man, he's – you know, we got a group of guys like him, and our guys will find a way to win over there.
You've talked about the conversations you've had about winning the division, getting into the tournament at the end of the season. You mentioned the 11 games. How much of a conversation or awareness is there about getting the one seed?
No, I mean, our guys know that. That was one of the things I talked about in training camp. And, you know, because you got to work backwards. And I've said it before, you can't just keep saying that the end game is the end game. We all know that. So now what do you got to do? You got to win your division, and preferably you want to be the one. And that's kind of where it goes. And so that whole focus is the division and getting that one seed, you know, because your odds go up. That only helps you. Doesn't mean you can't go all the way. If it's not that, and that's fine. You take it as it comes, but that's what we're shooting for. And ultimately that means you got to play each week, one at a time, and you got to give it your full intention. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
Let you go on this update on Sam Laporta, Taylor Decker, just as you gear up for this week.
Yeah, I mean, Sam's day to day. Nothing's changed since yesterday. Well, you know, he really is questionable. I can't tell you where I would lean right now with him. You know, time will tell. And Decker is questionable. I know he's doing better than he was last week. And, you know, I feel pretty good about him. But there again, he's day-to-day.
He's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Appreciate some of your time. Thanks, Coach.
Okay, thanks. Take care, guys.
It's 97.1.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I should have asked you to show me the moves during the break. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not drunk.
Well, yeah, until I'm drunk. In front of other people.
Until I'm drunk.
In front of one person.
Until I'm drunk, yeah. All right, so Lions taking on Jacksonville this weekend. Couple things. One, Adam Schefter this week on his podcast was talking about where the Lions rank in the NFL. And he thinks right now that the Detroit Lions are the best team in the NFL. And it's really interesting. I wonder how people feel about that. I mentioned yesterday, I think Sports Illustrated ranked the Lions number one in their power rankings, and NFL.com had the Lions number one in their power rankings. Because on paper, we have like one of the strongest cases ever for a team that should be ranked number one in the NFL. The Kansas City Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl winners and are undefeated, right? On paper, that would be an exceptionally strong case to be built as them being the best team in the NFL, wouldn't you think?
Yes, well, on paper, but when you do things on paper, you also have to look at schedules. That's part of paper, right?
Yep.
So the first win of the season for Kansas City was a great win. They beat the Ravens 27-20. Hello, world, we're back. We just beat the Ravens. But after that, they beat the Bengals by a point. They beat the Falcons by 5 points. They beat the Chargers by a touchdown. They beat the Saints by 13. They're terrible. They won at San Francisco by 10 points. They beat the Raiders by 7. They beat the Bucs by 6. They just beat the Broncos by 2 because the Broncos couldn't make a field goal at the end.
They blocked it.
Yeah, it's just... it's not an impressive list of wins after the first one. And if you got the win over the Ravens in week one, that's the best time to get it. It's like the Lions taking out Kansas City last year to start the season. I'm not saying Kansas City's bad. Kansas City's really good. But I think that 8-0 record is a little bit inflated by who they've played.
Yeah.
They haven't really been battle-tested. Not that the Lions have been really battle-tested, but they've been battle-tested, I think, more so than Kansas City.
The Lions, this recent schedule, these four games they played, they've been pretty battle-tested. The last two back-to-back Super Bowl winners, okay? The Denver Broncos won in 1998 and 1999. So just like Kansas City, won two in a row. And the next season after nine games, they were 5-4. Then after that, you get the 2004 and 2005 New England Patriots. Well, they won those Super Bowls. 2005, 2006, I guess it was. And they come back and they were, 6-3. So this is, like, on paper, one of the stronger. And you're right. Yeah, it's who they've played. And if you watch the games and how they went, you could see, all right, these are, that team might not be as good as what they would suggest on paper. But you think about how good the Lions must appear, and it's always interesting to me to get outsider perspectives. I rely on them all the time because I think we can get too close to it. We can get caught up in it. And in spite of that on-paper resume, back-to-back Super Bowls, undefeated, Adam Schefter thinks we got the best team in the NFL, Sports Illustrated's power rankings, and the NFL.com's power rankings. What does it mean? It really doesn't mean anything. Other than credibility, we got a ton of it right now.
Oh, there's a lot of cred. There's a lot of cred there. And, you know, you look at, okay, if you want to compare the two teams, the Lions are scoring a ton of points. The Chiefs are not. The Chiefs have a pretty good defense. Defensively, they're not giving up much. But neither are the Lions. Lions done a really good job defensively as well, but I think the Chiefs done a better job of that. Look at the quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback playing today, right? Mm-hmm. But he's not having a great season. He's completing a ridiculous amount of passes. It's almost 70% of his passes he's completed, but he's got, I think, 12 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. Has he been outplayed by Goff? I think he has. But it's also, you know, part of what the offense is. The Lions run the ball very effectively. The Chiefs do not. The Lions are really pretty close to being a complete team. If they had Aiden Hutchinson, this is a complete, a mostly complete team. They still have a little bit of a hole with the pass rush, even with Hutchinson. But obviously, they're better with Aiden than without Aiden. We'll see on Sunday what it looks like with Za'Darius Smith on the line and a healthy Josh Pascal and other guys, you know, getting more and more opportunities to contribute. And Aleem McNeil coming into his own right now as well. He's improved this year. He's taken a step forward, and that secondary has been great. And Jack Campbell.
And Jack Campbell. You know, I'm glad you brought up Aiden Hutchinson because that was sort of the next layer of the conversation. As you remember, Aiden gets hurt in the Dallas game, and I spent Monday and most of Tuesday being a whiny little bitch. I was so pissed off that we finally had this team, and then one of the most critical players on the team is out.
He is critical.
And here we are weeks later. And it just doesn't feel like the case is that much weaker. And this is all pre Za'Darius Smith. But they the toughest four games in the schedule, the toughest four-game stretch was this four-game stretch. Tennessee wasn't, but Minnesota, Green Bay, and Houston was. And they swept those games without Hutch and without Za'Darius Smith. So, you know, it's pretty remarkable that they don't seem to have lost a step. Now, given, I think pass rush is still one of the big concerns with this team. And Dan Campbell addressed that a little bit yesterday and why, you know, some of the good and the bad of what he's seen in the games without, before Za'Darius even debuts. But it's just, all right, you know, hey, going to that four-game stretch without Hutch, I did not expect them to go 4-0.
No, it's impressive to see what they've done, you know, in those games. You know, they gave up 29 points to Minnesota right away after that game, after the Hutchinson's first game out. But then it was 14-14 and then 23 to a pretty good Houston team. You got to like what you're seeing from the Lions, particularly with the defensive side. They pitched a shutout in the second half of that Houston game. Mm-hmm. The next three games for the Lions against Jacksonville, at Indianapolis, and then home on Thanksgiving against the Bears, three not-so-good teams. Then they have a little bit of a gauntlet at the end of the season. Four of the last five games, you got Green Bay and Buffalo at home. Then they play at Chicago, and then it's at San Francisco and home against Minnesota to finish up. That's a tough schedule for the last five games. And should I be discounting the Bears? Yep. At this point, I think we can look at the Bears and say it's a bit of a dumpster fire. Coaching changes the whole bit. That's a game they probably should win. But those four of the five there are really interesting games. And it starts December 5th.
Let's go to Chuck in Clinton Township. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Chuck.
How you guys doing today?
Good. All right, Chuck.
Couple things. I was thinking about the same thing you guys are when you compare to Lions versus Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I mean, easily Kansas City could be 5-4. I think we would agree with that. But if you look at the Tampa Bay game, how many points did they score against us in a dome with Chris Godwin and Evans? And how many points did they score against Kansas City without them and being outside in the wind and the rain?
Well, they scored 20 against the Lions. And what was that? Was that game 26-20?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it was the same. It was the final score that Kansas City.
Well, they scored. Was it? We lost, what, 20-16.
20? Tampa scored 20 points. And didn't they score 20 against? Let me look it up. No, they scored 24. Okay, yeah. They scored more with less players and in worse conditions.
Correct. Yeah, so I think our defense.
Keep in mind, say they could easily be 5-4. The Lions could have easily lost a couple more games themselves. The Vikings game, obviously the Texans game. You know, I mean, if you do that to Kansas City, you can do it to Detroit. But, yeah, I mean, Kansas City's falling a little bit closer to the sun. I think, you know, if you look at Kansas City's record and their back-to-back Super Bowls, you think best team in football. But you don't have to squint real hard to make a case for Detroit.
Yeah, I'm praying hard we play them in the Super Bowl and end the conversation once and for all.
Well, I'm praying hard that
the Super Bowl sounds good.
That the Lions get there.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
It'd be really cool to get there. And once they're there, I mean, it feels to me like the perfect scenario is to play Kansas City. I saw something the other day that's really interesting. It was voted on by the fans the most hateable teams in the NFL. So it was accumulation of votes.
The most hateable. Okay.
Yeah. We aren't going to do it as a who's on top. Although I do have one if you want to do this later. just considering. All right. Just think about it. Is it that funny?
It's that funny. And yes, we should do it later.
Should we?
Yes. Okay.
Well, maybe we will.
It's ironic.
Yeah. Maybe we will do that later. Anyway, the most hateable teams in the NFL, any guesses who was number one?
Dallas.
Correct. Who was number two?
The Jets.
No.
Just here?
No.
Is it Kansas City?
No, Kansas City's three.
Okay.
New England still has some staying power.
Really?
Do you know where the Lions ranked?
26th.
Lower. More towards the bottom.
28.
Lower.
30.
Lower.
32.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
The Lions were voted
the least hated
by fans,
team in the NFL.
The least hated team in the NFL. So if the Lions were to get, if they are fortunate enough to keep playing well, get to the Super Bowl.
That number will change.
Probably people will get sick of the Detroit Lions. That's one. But two is we will be, we'll kind of be the team that everybody's rooting for if they get Kansas City.
Yes.
If they get there.
If they get there, yeah. The giant if, yeah. I would like if the national media were to spend less attention on the Lions the rest of the way.
You want to back off?
I want things to calm down a little bit.
I kind of understand.
I don't want Jared Goff to be inundated with interview requests constantly. Dan Campbell, the same thing. And then they start going with the other player. Oh, let's talk to Brian Branch. He's had a nice season. Mm-hmm. Aleem McNeil, how does it feel? I don't need any of these extra specials done. I don't need the sit down with Aaron Andrews and a Tom Rinaldi piece or something like that. We don't leave it alone. Okay, we know we're good. Go talk to somebody else.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome in, one and all. This is how you know you have a great football team. Rico, on a day off, decides, no, I'm coming in. I don't even know why you're here, but that's okay.
Because, buddy, you know what? I would miss you, and I would miss all the texts, because I'm like, why isn't Mike texting me? Oh, he's doing a show from 2 to 6.
That's right. So. I guess the way I would start the show is I have watched football that I remember since I was 7 years old. That is my first memories of watching the NFL. In my 37 years of watching the NFL, that was one of the most impressive regular season wins I have ever seen by any team. I cannot tell you. I spent the fourth quarter as a non-Lions fan, but someone who's invested in the team, standing and pacing in my living room. I had a friend and a group of 10 people at the game. Guys, I said this in August sitting next to Rico at Circa. I will say it to you again. The Detroit Lions are winning the Super Bowl. And you can fight it. You can be scared of it. You can say, la, 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 I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me nice things. You're winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Because only great teams do what you did last night. Rico, 23-7. I don't want to hear about largest comeback in NFL history, and that was only 16 points. The way the game was going, that was a nightmare in every way, shape, and form. First of all, two of Goff's, quote, interceptions were as fluky as it gets. Just bad luck,
right.
Nonsense.
Especially the second one that bounced around and bounced around.
Correct.
I don't include the Hail Mary. I just don't because it was a Hail Mary.
I don't count Hail Mary. I agree with you totally. But the point is, all in, he had five turnovers. Problematic. Doesn't matter. Well, wait. They're an offensive team who leaned on the defense. And even though they don't have much of an exterior pass rush, Aleem McNeil went full Aaron Donald. Brian Branch to America, not to us here in Detroit. We know he's a Pro Bowler. He announced himself as one of the top 25 players in this sport. I stand by that comment. And you simply do everything you need to do. There's an unbreakable will about this team. And there was it was like synergy. Campbell's interview out of the half.
Mm-hmm.
We need to force some damn turnovers. Interception as he's saying it.
Right, because when he said that, I'm thinking, wait, that interception didn't happen in the first half. I thought they had synced up some video to go with that. I was like,
nope.
That just happened on cue. Michael, I'll say this. The other reason why I'm here today, I witnessed the best Lion victory I've ever seen last night. Dallas, you could say, oh, what about the Cowboy game? You know, we won 47-9. Dallas was dead. They didn't want to be there. They were only there to get game checks, okay? Last night was the best Lions game I have ever seen. Why? You had high expectations. You did not live up to those expectations. Matter of fact, you played maybe the worst game ever. But last night, and I can understand why they put the speech up on social media. Last night was a living embodiment of Dan Campbell's speech when he got here. Yep. We will do whatever it takes. And last night, the Lions did whatever it took to walk off with a victory. Okay, five interceptions. Don't worry about it. We'll make sure they don't score in the second half. Okay, we got to kick field goals because we can't go for it because it's too long. Don't worry about it. I actually like the kicker this year. I'm going to let him kick field goals. He barely made it. Don't care. Does it count as three? Yes. Kick another one. He barely made that one. Don't care. We won the game. Last night was a team effort. The defensive line. People stepped up who we've been waiting to step up. And you didn't have your new free agent on the field. Didn't matter. Jared Goff played horribly. Didn't matter. The team did not quit on the road. And the reason why, I said, Dallas was ready to quit. The Texans were there to fight. The Texans wanted to win that game. The Texans are, Houston radio is probably just roasting this team because somehow or another, since 1970, no one has thrown for five interceptions and lost a game like this. They did. They put up a fight. You put up a better fight. You showed the world, even when we are at our worst, we're still better than you. That's why this game was the best game ever.
And it's on the road. It's against a first place team off 10 days of rest. You didn't have any benefit. And both teams had some injuries. Doesn't matter. I would love to hear from the people. Look, well, there's so much to unpack. There's so many moments. It's just nothing convinces me more that you're winning the Super Bowl than Bates scraping the paint on the upright to tie the game and scraping it on the left upright to win the game. I mean, just there's a magic to this. And Rico nailed it. To win a game when you throw five interceptions, down 14, yeah, once every 54 years. Okay? I've believed since August. I can't change now. I'm just convinced. And look, there's no better coach team in this league. There's no better operation, all three phases. I don't want to hear about Kansas City being undefeated. That was a crock of you-know-what yesterday to block a chip shot field goal and win a game. I don't want to hear it. Kansas City, this team would hit Kansas City with a garbage can.
You know what the difference is? Kansas City, in their nine wins, Mike, had to come back 8 times. If the Detroit Lions got up on Kansas City, they wouldn't be able to come back.
No, that's my whole point. I feel like they're winning the Super Bowl. We've seen other teams do what the Lions are doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's foreign to see their helmet and their uniform, but I just don't hold that against them. They're doing this.
We had people doing the pregame show with Jim Costa, and there was callers and people. Yeah, they were like, I can't believe you guys are doing this. And
doing what?
Like, because we were saying, guys, this team's going to win the game. And I said last night, I think the Lions could play a C game
and win.
I didn't know that they could actually play a D game. Like, you barely, your defense showed up. Your offense didn't. And it didn't matter. Your special teams showed up again. Your defense carried you. Goff just... That the accuracy that we saw wasn't there.
Something was up with him last night. Look at how many, you notice how many passes were low or turfed? I don't know what was going on there.
I mean, I guess he's smart because especially if you throw 5 picks, you're kind of gun shy. I don't want to force the ball anywhere, so I'll just live to fight another down. So, yeah it was plenty of time. Amon-Ra, I'm just going to bounce past that ball to you.
Very bizarre.
It was not very Jared Goff like.
No, and again, the O line, we got to be careful. Like, everyone's allowed a bad day at the office. Houston, thank God they didn't have Will Anderson because the pressure they were getting without him, I don't want to see what that would have been with him. Goff got absolutely murdered last night. Murdered.
Yeah.
And he's still there to make the plays they need defensively. Look, this is why I'm so all in about this season. You're not keeping Aaron Glenn. You're not keeping Ben Johnson. This is the last dance right here.
See, Ben Johnson, I think, may stay. I don't think he wants to be a head coach, and that's okay. It's not a slam on him. I think he just loves and appreciates, all I got to do is run the offense. All I got to do is just have meetings with the offensive, the different units. I don't have to meet with the media. I don't have to do all the publicity stuff. I don't have to kiss babies. I don't have to do any of this stuff. I could just run the offense and come up with all types of plays. Aaron Glenn wants a head coaching job. Last night, that was his audition tape. Last night, that was his interview. I fully expect him to be a head coach somewhere. Yeah.
Well, and it was like a vice. They just kept tightening. Like a tourniquet. They kept just tightening it and tightening it and tightening it, more aggressive, more at the line of scrimmage. Now, look, some of the reason they got burnt on a few plays is they have no pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were blitzes they were bringing and nobody won. You're creating an extra rusher and Houston keeps the back in. Nobody of the 6 people you were bringing, nobody could win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a distinct problem. Now, Za'Darius Smith hopefully helps with that. But I'd like to know from you guys. I mean, give me your takeaway of it. Can you finally say, like, yeah, we're doing this? I mean, there's so many things for us to talk about. J-Mo played a huge role last night. Couple of ridiculous catches. Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, Penei Sewell, Ben Johnson with the call of the game, deep in your own territory on a 3rd down, and we're going to run this fake out screen that
like
got
a wheel route. Yeah.
Yeah, Sewell on the edge, and now he's murdering Bullock, their safety, and just all of it. Brian Branch was everywhere.
Yeah. This should let you know that you kind of arrived last night. You got what you've always complained about, Detroit. You got the favorable call at the end of the game.
Oh, on the PI?
Oh, it was PI.
Well,
but you know, and it was a guy who's had PI called against him all season long.
Mm-hmm.
But because your defense plays so well, the refs gave you the benefit of the doubt and said, no, that was just a bang, bang play, and we're not going to throw the flag. Now, when you rewatch it, yeah, it was. If you're a Houston fan, you're probably screaming bloody murder the way the Lions fans did with the whole Dan Skipper is eligible thing, but it shows you this is how you're perceived. Your defense was so elite last night that referees gave you the benefit of the doubt late in the game, and they didn't even question the fact that it was a PI.
It's a point of arrival. I'm with you. I can't be more impressed. And the sick part is 23-7. I didn't feel like they were done. I mean, I'm not sitting here telling you that I expected victory, but I just felt like they're not done. And then once they scored and it's 23-13, you're not done. You're in this. Mm-hmm. Once it got to 23-20, I was convinced they're winning. This is happening.
I got convinced when they blew the wide for Tank Dell wide open.
Well, Stroud just put too much air under it. He waited too long. You gotta throw the ball.
That would have made it 30-13. And at that point, go ahead, wave to the crowd, goodbye. Instead, it was another Lions party in the concourse. I don't know if you've seen the videos, but they were out there hustling in the concourse, screaming, you know, we're deep. Like, Lions fans showed up.
I would say
it
was
over
60-40.
Right.
60% Texans, 40% Lions. This Detroit takeover thing is a thing.
Yeah.
It just is.
But they were chanting, everywhere we go, we're deep.
I don't know what that means, but okay. 248-539-9797. I could make a joke, but it's too early to anger you.
Now, John, we've been talking about this game a little bit off air, and you had shared something that surprised me. Lions should roll, and you have floated out whether or not certain players should be resting.
Well, I think you're taking my terminology a little bit too far, a little bit liberally.
Well, then you can clarify it for everybody in Metro Detroit right here.
Sam LaPorta has been hurt. He hasn't even practiced yet this week. Could he practice if they were playing an NFC Championship game? I think we saw that last year. Sure. Taylor Decker. And here's where I really think they need to be cautious. We saw Frank Ragnow have the torn pec and then, quote-unquote, rest or sit the week before a bye to buy that extra week. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars, then the Indianapolis Colts. They've got a couple of weeks in here where they are clearly the better team. They have more depth. They have more talent. They're better coached. They execute at a higher level. Is this an opportunity that if a guy just simply isn't what they need him to be and in other circumstances would play, but now, and I don't think it's rest, I think it's get healthy, because what was the big talking point going into the playoffs last year? They were healthier than they had ever been during the season. And I think we have seen this throughout the course of Dan Campbell's time where they are willing to make the decision that the right thing to do for Za'Darius Smith is that he's not playing. He's in his 10th season in the NFL. He's played for a decade. We know what he can do for us. Would we love to have him this week? Yes. But we need him when we play Green Bay. We need him when we play the Bills. We need him in the second, third, and final round of the playoffs. So they decide to make the sacrifice as a franchise that he's not playing. He was healthy. He could have played. But the right thing for him was that he didn't play.
So you're talking LaPorta, Decker.
Possibly Decker. Frank.
And those are guys you would consider not playing against Jacksonville.
Correct.
Okay.
Or I think they should at least consider the option. And what we know about Frank, and none of us have the full medical report. We don't know how significant or insignificant the tear in his pectoral muscle is.
But it does feel like you're playing with fire there.
Sure.
In the sense that any game, any play could aggravate, could tear, could make it worse. Mm-hmm. You got to pick your battles. No, I'm just surprised from you, because the thing in the NFL is nobody's healthy this time of year. Everybody's got bumps and bruises. They only have a one game edge for the one seed right now. Mm-hmm. You got to win every single game, and letting off the gas even a little bit doesn't feel very John Jansen, and it doesn't feel very Dan Campbell.
Well, I'm not saying they do that. I'm not saying I would do it. I'm saying, would you consider this? And here's why I may consider it up front. And maybe it's not everybody up front. Maybe last week, Taylor Decker could have gone. Now, that would have been a much riskier proposition if you were just, hey, we're going to hold back because you're playing a first-place team. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, the offense didn't play very well. My concern mostly is with the offensive line. Offensive line, defensive line, you're going to get more bumps and bruises. You have more opportunity to get banged up than some of the other positions. And it is the one position where I am most concerned about depth. Now, if Frank doesn't play, we saw you move over Graham Glasgow, you bring in Awosika, and you could still, especially at home. That's what it was the week before the bye. I think we all learned that if Taylor Decker or God forbid, I'm not even going to say his name, the other tackle were to go down, there is absolutely nothing that is backing them up. Dan Skipper, that was bad last week. When Taylor Decker couldn't go, that was bad. And I've watched this game over and over, and I keep thinking to myself, well, maybe next time I watch it, I'm not gonna feel the same way. No, I do. And it's not, you know, it's not on him. Like, he's doing everything he can. That's just where he is limited in being a left tackle. So if it's an extended time, you obviously would move Sewell over. Skipper would go to right.
Yeah, they explained that the reason they didn't is they were already too far into their game prep to make the swap left versus right.
And I'm not questioning that decision.
No,
I agree with the decision. The problem is, when that happens, Colby Sorsdahl still wasn't active. So they obviously don't have a lot of faith in him, because what if Skipper went down? Manu wasn't active. He wasn't going to go in the game. And even if he was active like that, I mean, from all the reports that we've heard, that's not a possibility at all right now. So if Skipper or Penei Sewell were to go down, what were they going to do at the tackle position? That's why I say they just need to be judicious with how they use their players.
If you're taking any of these guys out or resting them, Jared Goff immediately, too. You can't leave your quarterback out there without them out there.
Well, you know, but you have to accommodate for it. And so if Decker last week wasn't healthy enough to go, the only concern that I have was in expecting Dan Skipper to do Taylor Decker things and to block one-on-one on the edge. That's where I had the concern, and it's going to happen at times, right? It's just the game dictates it, the play, the position on the field, the down and distance, all of that stuff will dictate it's going to happen at times. But why not give them a little bit more help with the running back, with the tight end, with formation, with motions, all of those different things? And so that's the only concern I have about a damn good team.
So I think right now the idea of truly resting somebody, no way.
Right.
Like, Frank, I would be stunned if they, like, that would be late in the year when you've got things clinched. And I think for him, because you got Glasgow, so you can trust the snapping process there, is maybe if you're ahead, you give them off a series or something like that.
At the end of the game?
Look, yeah, even mid. I mean, what if you're up this week, and since Decker's been banged up the most, you yank him out, you know, mid to late third quarter, and the next series with Goff out there, you run the plays the other way, basically. So you're protecting you see what I'm saying? Protecting from what happened last week. Because the bottom line is right now, Jared Goff's getting hit too much.
Right.
Okay? So
the last
thing I'm doing is taking out any of these guys. You're playing. We got to tough it out, and there's an injury risk in this league. Look, we have to deal with it.
Look, they've rested guys a couple times this year. It's when they've built huge leads. That's the time to rest guys. Yep. If you get to the third quarter or the fourth quarter and you're up 21+, you're up three or more touchdowns, and you want to say, okay, we're going to get Goff out of the game.
So you expect Laporta to go, if he's at all able to go, you expect him to go. Decker, if he's at all able to go, you expect him to go. Yes. Because there have been times, and I'm just going off of what we've seen. Again, we don't have the injury report.
Again,
I don't know the severity of any of these injuries.
If it is medically deemed that they should sit, I'm not going to say shoot them up and force them into the game. My point is, this is football. If it's just regular old bumps and bruises as the season drags on, until they've clinched the one seed, until they've earned the rest in game, you put your best foot forward and you try to pummel Jacksonville, because the moment you stop putting your best foot forward, you start to lose momentum. You start to slide a little bit. You pick up a loss you shouldn't have. You lose the edge that has made this team the best team in the NFC and the best team in football. The idea that they would rest guys, 248-539-9797, is a question, I guess, of how confident you are in this game, but also that you think they can just run the table without playing everybody, right? And I think that could be a dangerous game.
Right, but I think you're using a term that I'm not using. I'm not saying rest
them. So what word are you using?
If they're injured, and if it's an NFC championship game, they would go, but against Jacksonville, they don't.
It's a gray area.
Yeah, it's a gray area. And we've seen that. We've seen them manipulate the roster times before. And the reason I was considering this or wanted to discuss this is they needed pass rush help. They got it in Za'Darius Smith, but they didn't play him because they know that they need him through the stretch run. They know they need Taylor Decker, Frank Ragnow. And no, it's not going to be a mass, we're going to rest all of our starters. Like, yeah, there's,
you can't do that.
Yeah, there's not like enough guys on the roster. Exactly. Right. So when do you pick and choose when guys can go and can't go?
All right, this game this week, some ticket texts. John didn't like that we used the word rest, but the question was, do they let off at all? Do they sit a guy or two who's on the fence, given that it's Jacksonville, it's an AFC opponent, these are winnable games, it's a 13.5-point spread? Or is it, hey, if you can go, you go. One seed's not locked up, job not finished. Yep. Which camp are you in? 248-539-9797. Texter says, why not make it a preseason game for Decker, Laporta, and Frank? They play the first quarter or get out with a double-digit lead, whatever comes first.
Oh, I think if they go, there's no question once they get up, there's going to be a lot of players that that will be taken out. But the question is, when does that happen? It's usually not until the fourth quarter, so you've played the majority of the game.
And once you get up, you have to finish.
Yes, you do. Well done. Yes.
This one says, the topic sounds like we've assumed the game has already been won. John, how would you and teammates react if you were in that Jags locker room and heard this before the game? Remember, any given Sunday.
Yeah, that's always the problem. I get it. And I'm not saying they should do this. I'm asking the question.
What does John know? It's not like he played in the league for years. Let's sit back and listen to everybody else. That's a ticket text. Another one says, I don't think it's a terrible idea with all of our healthy guys to use them up. To start all of our healthy guys like the preseason and then give them a quarter or two to see where the game is from there. That's Nate in Warren. If they're up 3 touchdowns, no need for them to come back.
Well, but here's the thing, and I didn't even think about this. We've kind of asked the question because of the way that Dan Campbell and this staff has handled injuries previously. There are times where we thought a guy, but they gave him more time to recover. They haven't used guys when they've been dinged up. And in watching the game, I have major concerns about what would happen in the playoffs when you're playing against really good defensive fronts, when you're playing against much better teams that will make you pay for mistakes if Dan Skipper is your starting tackle on either side.
Well, I share the concern. I do. And specifically, Penei Sewell to me is the linchpin of this offense.
Yeah.
But the problem is I'm putting him out there every single game.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any injuries. You're not at all talking about prematurely resting guys.
I'm talking about guys that
who have
hurt.
Something, who are on the injury. Laporta's maybe the best example. Has not practiced yet this week. Left last week with an injury.
Yeah.
If he is on the fence, you would say, hey, kick your feet up, Sam. It's a long season. We don't need you against Jacksonville.
Well, it was even at the beginning of the year when we heard from Dan Campbell. Like, you know, okay, he didn't start the season. And, well, okay, how come we haven't seen more of Laporta? Well, he's been a little bit dinged up. We didn't really put a whole lot of plays, even though he was playing, him to get the ball.
Well, I could see more of that then. I could see him in the game with a reduced role. But the idea, they still want the other team to game plan for him. If it is a tight game or it's a critical third down early and they need it to get up, he's in the game. That's the camp I'm in. I would, again, if he medically does not get cleared, I'm not telling them to do something dangerous or reckless or put a player's safety at risk. My point is, if it is just regular old NFL bumps and bruises, hey, he's just going to have to tough it up.
And so as a player, if a coach comes to me and says, hey, you know what, you're not 100%, we don't want you to go, I'm going to say, you know, F you. I'm playing.
Yeah.
And as well, when Frank wanted to play, all of Dan's walking down the hall, all of a sudden somebody shoves him. And it was Frank Ragnow. Like, all of those things are true, but it's ultimately up to the staff as to who they activate and who they don't.
John, I agree with you. Ticket Texter says we're as thin as far as having backups on the offensive line. It's why this last draft was disappointing to me. We should have added a more polished offensive lineman, swing tackle, guard, etc., for depth.
Well, and they do have Mahogany back. And
but he's a sixth-round pick who really hasn't shown anything. Like, that's not the same level of what this Texter's saying.
Right, but he's also an inside guy.
Yeah.
An interior, you know, player. And so, yeah, I think they have decent depth. They have depth that they can count on inside. They don't have it on the outside.
Yeah, he was inactive last week too, but I do think out of all this discussion right now, I just think it's premature. You just can't risk sitting offensive linemen for what it will do to the golf potentially and the running backs. You expose the running backs maybe in a, you know, but they do need to get Mahogany on the field because they need, I've always felt this way. I don't know, John, you'll agree. You play the position. If you've got two backups that you can really count on, offensive linemen, you're in pretty good shape because everything can't be perfect, okay? So if you got Awosika and then you got Mahogany that you can trust coming in there, and then you got Skipper as your third, I don't know if you can get any better than that.
But Skipper is your first on the edge.
Yes.
Well, none of those other guys can play tackle.
Correct.
Right, right. So, but you've got to move Sewell over.
And that's
what
scenario,
they found. That's
yes.
Right. If Decker's out anymore, they found that out last week. Maybe that's why they yep. did it, was to see if Skipper could hold his own over there. So now they know they've got to move Sewell over. And I would think if they found out later in the week like they did, they would still do it.
Oh, I think you're insulting their intelligence. I think it happened so late in the week that they didn't. They didn't go into that game going, well, let's see what Skipper can do. I guarantee the better tackle is. Hank Fraley is looking at it going, I know he can't hold up. But we don't have a choice late in the week.
Yeah.
And so if it does happen earlier or for extended period of time, yes, the obvious answer is you move Sewell over.
And to your point, John, if they make a determination middle of the week, then they can game plan that way. So what you're saying is be more intentional about this. They were intentional about resting guys previously.
Yeah, and I don't know if they were resting Frank, trying to buy an extra week along with the bye.
I think that's part of it. There's no bye week for months now.
Right, there's no bye week. And so, I don't, like, what could he have gone that week if he had to? I think the answer is probably yes.
Yeah, he would have gutted it out. We know everything about
Frank. They were able to get that extra week.
I was a little suspicious of this last year when a couple offensive linemen were out. Just kind of, you thought things were fine, and then all of a sudden you get the late in the week, and oh, look who popped up. And it happened here, and I'm suspicious. Are they load managing?
So I'm saying it out loud. All right, I'm asking the question out loud. I'm not saying this is how I would do it, but I've kind of felt that way since Dan has been the head coach, that there are times where they take advantage of a guy being on the injury report and say, we're going to give you a week.
Caution.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, is Dan Campbell load managing? Is he stealing something from the NBA?
Well, people don't like it in the NBA. So when you say that, I think that people go, Dan would never.
Well, when do you have to be your healthiest? When does it matter the most?
Playoffs.
The playoffs. And where were they the healthiest last year? And probably of all the NFL teams, it was the Lions.
You know, we've
really highlighted the best way for them to be healthy is to have a bye week in the playoffs. They have yet to secure the bye week in the playoffs.
Yep.
So that would still be the guiding light.
And it's still playing against an NFL team with a former first-round quarterback. Now, he hasn't lived up to that, you know, position.
Mac Jones.
So they have four games in 3 weeks right now.
Yeah, this is a bit of a gauntlet. Just in terms of schedule, not opponents.
And to me, that's why Laporta doesn't play Sunday. I'd be pretty surprised if he was out there.
A texter says stagger them. Like, don't have them all sit one game. Like,
right. Again, you can't sit everybody.
That's load managing, though.
Yeah, that is.
It's staggering. I know it's kind of when you put that word on it. Ooh.
That word carries a connotation with some people. Oh, they load management. What is this, the NBA? Those soft millionaires who can't play every day? Not in football. Not Dan Campbell's Lions.
But you got the four games in 3 weeks, and then they do have a mini bye after that Packer home game. You've got the 10-day window
before Buffalo.
The Bills,
yes. So. Yeah. But you don't want to sit people for Thanksgiving. You don't want to sit people for a primetime Packer game. You don't want to sit people for Buffalo.
Division opponent. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of those games coming up, too.
All right, let's talk to the quarterback. Jared, thanks for being with us as always. We appreciate it. Congratulations on that win. That was something.
Hello.
Okay. All right. We were just talking about all that stuff happens, and yet your last three drives are must-have-it drives, and you guys come through. How satisfying is it? Touchdown drive, field goal drive, field goal drive.
Yeah, you know, we started to kind of get our feet underneath us there in the second half, and I thought the way that we called it in the second half was awesome, and getting the ball into Gibbs' hand, letting him move. You know, we got some good screens dialed up, and we just got a little confidence back. And I think once we got that touchdown, cut it to 6 points, I believe. And right then and there, we knew, all right, this is a whole new ball game. We can go win this thing. And I think it gave our defense a little bit more juice, and they kept playing their tails off. And I think their performance in the second half can't be overstated how great they played.
You know, it's funny because Lions fans and everybody watching, you guys have a critical 3rd and 6. You're on the edge of field goal range. There's a minute 40 to go in the game, and everybody is thinking Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I'm sure the Texans know it as well. But I feel like you guys have like this safety deposit box of plays for Amon-Ra that nobody can cover, that you break out at just the right time. Take us into that play. What was what made that play work and why he's your go-to guy in those situations?
Yeah, you know, he's obviously, you know, everyone knows how great he is as a player, but they played zone coverage on that play, and we had a play up that works for kind of either man or zone, and he's got some a few options of where he can go on that route, and kind of just found a space and put it on him. And when you got a guy like him who could play that way and is smart, and you can give him a route that has, you know, three different ways he can go, it makes my job a lot easier. And he got himself open and put it on him.
Do you wait for him to cut before you make that throw, or are you reading the same thing he is and saying, I know what he's going to do based upon what we're trained to do, and I'm throwing it to that spot and he's going to be there?
That's correct. Yes. Wow. That's what we're doing.
Jameson Williams comes out of that game, and I got to believe he's bruised and battered, but I don't know if he needed to win anybody over, but my God, the respect you guys have to have for him going through what he did in that game, it was like a car accident every time.
Yeah, he's a tough kid, man, and he's a fun guy to play with, and I think that catch he had on that little curl route was indicative of that. That was a huge play for us. We were kind of still trying to get our feet underneath us at that point, and for him to hold on to that thing in traffic, that was, you know, one of the better catches, you know, I've been around. And he just keeps on coming along, and I think getting him back into the fold with us this week is huge.
Are you guys starting to get some Roll Tide chants going in the locker room, because you get some major contributions from the guys from Alabama?
Oh yeah, you know, Brad loves those Bama guys, you know that, and those guys have been great for us, and obviously, yeah, it's been fun.
All right, so take us to the end of the game. You guys get into field goal range. Jake Bates and the field goal unit sent onto the game. Do you have a routine to watch a field goal like this? Do you go to one end or the other? Do you not watch? What do you do in those situations?
You know, I don't have any weird superstition about it. I watch, and, you know, hopefully he makes it and the game's over. And if not, we go to overtime. And sure enough, he made it. And had a lot of confidence in him, though. He just made the one previously from further out than that. Makes a ton of them in practice all the time, and from way further out than that, which is, you know, hard to believe, but he does. And so in we're inside, you know, we're only 52 yards. Had pretty good confidence in him to make that.
When he made it, you immediately hugged Coach Campbell, and you guys said something to each other. Can you share that, or is that private?
Yeah, I mean, I just expressed to him that's why our team is different, you know, because we can handle stuff like that, and he agreed.
At the end of the first half, it almost seemed like we're going to take a chance and kick a 65-yard field goal if that was going to be possible. Was that something that was on the table if you guys got anywhere in the 60-something range?
Oh, for sure. We would kick it from at least, for sure, 65. We would cut. We were on the minus 45, so we'd have to get another 10 yards or so, you know, maybe a little 7 yards or so. And, if we would have done that, we would have for sure kicked it.
All right, Za'Darius Smith, he got interviewed. We saw him during the game. He got interviewed after the game. He seems so fired up to be here. What do you see in your new teammate?
Yeah, a ton of energy. It's a lot of fun. You know, I've only played against him for years now, and to be in the same locker room with him, you get why guys love him and guys love playing with him. A ton of energy, fun to be around, smart player, good leader. You can already tell he's going to bring some young guys along with him, and obviously hopefully contribute on Sundays.
Can you describe what it's like after a game like this and you're flying back? You're on the plane. You're there with all your teammates. You got a chance to kind of relax and maybe regale in it too. What's that flight like?
Yeah, it's fun. Those road wins are always fun. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you're kind of, you know, talking with guys about how the game went, where you could have done better and whatnot. But when it's overshadowed by a W, you know, you kind of always – end the conversation with a laugh, because it's like, all right, yeah, you know, we could have done that better, but, you know, so be it. And we got the W, and we'll clean that stuff up this week and move on and be better. But yeah, there's certainly a lot of things that we can be better at. And, we need to be if we want to keep on going on the right track.
Final thing from me along those lines about being on the road. I just can't get over the fans. I mean, they are taking stadiums over, and we ask you about it every week, but they might have actually caused a false start in somebody else's building. This is incredible.
Yeah, they did. They did. They did cause that false start. It was impressive. It really is. It's hard to believe and wrap your head around, but our fans are the best in the world, and I'm so lucky to play here in front of them. And the support they show me and the support they show us is second to none. And getting them on the road like that, it's really truly unbelievable. And we get one in front of them this week, and which feels like forever. So it'll be fun this weekend to be in Ford Field.
Got a little bit of off the wall question for you. Last one of the day. Dozens of monkeys escaped a research facility in South Carolina over the weekend. They've recovered most of them, but not all of them. What's the craziest animal encounter you've ever experienced?
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's a tough question. Animal encounter, like in the wild, like in just like public?
Just in real life, yeah. Like, I can't believe there's a peacock walking across here. I didn't expect to see that today.
That's a good question. You know, maybe like a mountain lion, I guess. Like in Northern California, there's some mountain lions. I don't know if I've been like close enough to be in trouble by one, but I've seen them.
Wow. I think if you can see them, that sounds to me like close enough to be in trouble.
Yeah, you know, it's all right, though.
Hey, Jared, stay away from the mountain lions. We appreciate your good work, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There he is, Lions quarterback Jared Goff, who joins us every Tuesday here on 97.1 The Ticket.
3 o'clock. Good to have you. There's the spit bottle. Now you know TJ's here.
I do not have anything in the lip, and I'm not going to.
Oh, really?
Until you offend me, which normally, Rico, what does that normally take? 4 minutes?
Prop Bet Casino, over under 307 and 30 seconds.
As soon as Mike makes a Chris Creighton reference some sort of derogatory comment towards Irish people.
No, I was going to ask you a sincere question. Is that after the way the Lions won last week, which was just unbelievable.
I'm sure it's
going to
be very sincere, yes.
I mean, honestly, I am.
All right.
Do me a favor. Will you pull his battery pack out and let me get this question out?
Should we restart?
After the way they won last week, which was phenomenal, unbelievable.
Impossible.
Right. You start to feel, though, that impossible is the norm, that they just don't lose. So here is my question. You were a part of a 15-1 team.
Yes.
Does it? Or at what point does it begin to get in the locker room where it's like, boys, we're not losing. This is what we do. Where it starts to feel like you're invincible.
No.
Never.
No. That doesn't creep in.
Really?
No, it doesn't. I think you... And that was my third year in the NFL. We had a really good team. And we ended up losing to your team, Mike, who... Went on to win the Super Bowl.
Wasn't bringing that up.
No, I honestly think going back to if I put myself back in that mindset, it was, man, we're hot this week.
Okay.
Right? It wasn't, you don't look at the schedule and say, oh, we got the next four in the bag. You know, those are locked in. These teams stink. Like, oh, we're going to roll through these guys. No, you never feel like that.
TJ?
I swear to God.
I mean, because here's the thing.
You take it week to week.
Statute of limitations is up. Your teammates have all retired. You guys never sat around and said, you know, we beaten this team. This team's not
awful. That's what I just said. I said you'd look at some stretches and say, hey, the next three games we're playing the Bears, who are terrible, or the Vikings are – really down, and they got Christian Ponder, whoever the quarterback is. Yeah, like as long as we go play our game, we can walk out on the field and beat them. But you never get into the big picture where it's we're never going to lose again. Oh my God, look at the rest of the schedule.
Hold on, you
don't think that.
Let me rephrase that. Not that, but just we almost. You don't have to practice as hard. You don't have to be as dialed in because our C game is better than them. Okay.
No, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Rico, you never ever cross that line of we're good, complacent. Hey, as long as we go play our ball, nobody can beat us. Because that's the moment where you get. Okay. Where you get punched in the mouth, right?
And this
you
don't is why have an answer.
No.
You were in the locker room.
Yeah. And you know, it's like that in every sport, though. I think you realize, of course, these guys in the locker room are sitting there saying, man, we just played a terrible game and we beat a good team, right? A first place Houston Texans team. We just beat them playing probably a
D-plus
game.
Yeah.
You know, so you, of course, you sit there and you say, yeah, we're feeling good about ourselves. We got a ton of talent. As long as we play our style of football, nobody can beat us. We saw that in the second half. But no, you never sit there. You never, ever get complacent. You never say, hey, as long as I just show up, punch the clock, man, I'm going to come out here on top. You don't do that because you don't even snicker when the coach comes in there and says,
you know what, guys, we got to worry about Mac Jones.
No, you don't. I mean, you don't. No, you don't because I think there's, and I know what you're saying.
Right.
And part of you may be like, okay, we're playing a backup quarterback. This team hasn't won a lot of games. They're what, 2-7?
Yeah.
Okay, we're clearly the better team. I think you can concede that thought.
Okay.
But you don't ever go out there and say, hey, as long as we just show up on the field, you know, whatever happens, we're going to come out and win the game. You never do that, ever. Man, this NFL, man, guys make plays. We saw that first quarter with Mason Rudolph, the Tennessee game, where it was 14-14. You're sitting there like, what is going on? Hold on. This is going to be a shootout with Mason Rudolph and the Titans. Now, things ended up coming together, but you can't take it for granted. You don't do that. And I think that's the thing that I love most, I think, about Dan Campbell, is it's never really about the opponent. It's about us. How can we find a way to go improve ourselves, our team, our unit, offense? We got to get better this week, right? Defense, hey, you played a great second half, but how can we improve on the first half that we played last week and make sure that we don't let up a late touchdown, you know, in a two-minute drive? So those are the points that you look at. You can look across the board, and certainly I've played players across from me. If there's a defensive tackle line across me, I could say, okay, I love this matchup. This guy is not going to beat me the entire game. That doesn't mean our offense is going to have some great advantage. Everybody else has to go win their one-on-ones as well. So you look at that and you say, hey, everybody's in the NFL. These guys are getting paid. They got some – look, Jacksonville has some really good players on their side of the ball. You know, that defense, they picked off Sam Darnold, who – I tried to tell you a couple weeks ago he was going to come back down to earth a little bit. Nobody believed me. They picked him off three times.
And you say I'm petty.
But they got some guys on. If you go out there and play an average game, you can lose to a bad team in a heartbeat. So that's, you never think about, oh, they're in the dumps, man. They stink. They're in a backup quarterback. You don't think about that. You think about, what do I have to do this week to go out and improve from last week? What do I have to give to this team to go out there and get the win, right? That's all that matters. So, and that's what I think Dan Campbell's message has consistently been to this team over the past couple of years is, God, we don't talk about, hey, we got to go win this game. This is a must win. We got to have this game. He doesn't talk about that. Guys, we have to improve. We have to find a way to get better. So then when we reach December, January, when these games really start to count for a lot, how are we hitting our stride at that point? And that's what I think I respect a lot about Dan and a lot about the way this team approaches a week-to-week basis.
Now, I just want to make sure, are you done lecturing Rico, or is there more in the tank?
No, I'm not, but I did a couple weeks ago. I said, hey, is anybody going to see Sam Darnold start to do Sam Darnold things again? Rico, I'm not – you know what? Who
Mike.
I'm not letting Mike off the hook because he was on the side of Sam Darnold, MVP. Oh, my gosh. He's playing.
Yes, you were.
Don't lie
pull
to me.
The tape.
Yes, you were.
Pull the tape. Pull I the hate tape. Sam Danny, Darnold. Pull the tape. As I did earlier
what
this week.
What on earth is happening here? That he just made that up. I knew it. I never said that. That is outrageous behavior. You can't win with a redhead.
You didn't say it. You hinted at it. You definitely hinted
over.
At it. Over. You hinted.
What? Over what?
A 307 in 30 seconds.
When he lied on my name?
There we go. Get this platoon ready.
Now, can I ask a question?
Well, it took 9 minutes.
He had passion. Look, he's been in locker rooms before. I just wanted to know, you secretly say this type of stuff? So I don't mind the passion, DJ.
Okay, college.
I don't mind it.
College, you can. Right,
like hell at Eastern.
College, you can't. Hey. No. Well, we played times or, Michigan State's got, you know, Tennessee State on this. You can look at that and say, okay, let's just go get our, you know, let's get things
get
right.
Your stats.
Yeah, let's go get out there, get our fundamentals, get the fits right. It's a preseason game, right?
Right.
In NFL, you can't do that in regular season. There's no way, man. That's how you fall into the trap game of going into the game with that mindset of saying, hey, as long as I just go through the motions and get the fundamentals, right, we'll be okay. And then all of a sudden you look at the scoreboard and you're like,
but you see it all the time.
Why aren't we blowing them out? What's going on all the time.
That's why
I think this team is different where they don't take that approach. Dan Campbell's not talking about Jacksonville coming in here with a chip on their shoulder and they're ready, you know, with a backup quarterback to beat your ass. It's more about our approach. What does our approach have to be?
Right.
And that's what I think the focus is in that locker room is we have to find ways to improve. Offensive line, last week.
Awful.
Not a great performance, right? To your standards. average, sure, but to their standard, not good enough. Penei Sewell got beat a couple times. Jared Goff's second interception. You know, Penei Sewell got beat on a rush that he never gets beat on. But those are the plays that if you take for granted what the other team can do to you, and you just say, hey, as long as I go show up, go through the motions, all of a sudden you get punched in the mouth a couple times. It's like, oh my goodness, we turned the ball over. Now we got to claw our way back into this thing, right? So you never.
It's really effective when you're making
and
Rico, a point.
I know he's making it seem like it's some. I'm not calling you out, but I'm just saying
you gotta take it.
You have to expect every team's best shot.
I'm going
to
say this with all sincerity, brother. I appreciate the passion and the honesty.
I have a lot
of
passion. And you know what?
So, no. You, I don't know what's happening. You did not call me out. I asked a question, and you answered.
And I wanted to get in front of the
thank you.
Mike, normally, the first 10 minutes is him coming at me with, you know, Eastern Michigan shots. And
I don't know why.
I just wanted to get out. I want to get out in front of it.
But you know what? I will recognize that brand ambassador right now. He's a brand ambassador right now, Mike.
Oh, you mean when he's making a point with Chaw in his hand?
No, the quarter zip.
Oh, I was seeing our teams waving a tin of snus in your face.
How about a Michigan State rematch in the game above Swartz Bowl this year? How does that sound?
I thought it was going to be Eastern and State.
Still going to
win a couple more games.
I'm not doing it. So you're baiting me into saying something mean, and I'm not going to do it. No.
I know you want to. It's who you are, Mike.
I want to ask about last week's game, not your school, the Lions. You were there. You're on the sidelines. At home, it was incredible to watch. I want to know when you felt, this is going to happen. We're going to get to it. Relax. You're here for a bit.
I got you.
Why don't you pop in another lipper there? You'll be all right.
No, that's my first one. I was waiting for you to do what you just did.
And, I did nothing. You know, I sat here and watched you
underhand comment
attack R.L. Beard. My God, I've just sat here and watched you attack a black man for 15 minutes. I've said nothing.
All right, now I'm going to have to
throw cold in the D.
That's a double shot.
My goodness. All right.
Rico, do you still have the flag? Can you throw a flag on that?
We'll go get it.
Unnecessary. David.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.